All right, so this morning's gospel reading comes from the 10th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 25th verse. Just then, a religious scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? Now, I'm going to stop here for a minute and get you all at home and those of you here to really pay attention to the answer. Because the next time somebody asks you, are you saved? Or starts talking about being born again, we need to pay attention to what Jesus' exact words were about putting ourselves in a position to get eternal life. And Jesus answered, what's written in God's law? How do you interpret it? And the scholar said that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer, muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Good answer, said Jesus. Do this and you will live. But looking for a loophole, the scholar said, and just how would you define my neighbor? And Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a person traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on the way, this person was attacked by robbers. They took their clothes, beat them up, and went off, leaving them half dead. Luckily, a priest was on the way down the same road. But when he saw the person on the road, he angled across to the other side. The Levite religious priest showed up, but he also avoided the injured person. Now there was a Samaritan traveling the road, came upon this person, and when they saw the person's condition, the Samaritan's heart went out to them. The Samaritan gave this person first aid, disinfecting bandages, and bandaged the wounds. The Samaritan then lifted this person onto the donkey and led it to an inn where this person was made comfortable. And in the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave it to the innkeeper, saying, take good care of them. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back. Now, what do you think? Which of the three became a neighbor to the man who was attacked by robbers? The one who treated him kindly, the religious scholar said. And Jesus said, go and do the same. I titled the sermon after that song that we all know from, what is it, the 60s? Diana Ross and the Supremes. I stole the title of their song. Stop in the name of love. Stop in the name of love. That's exactly what Jesus is teaching here this morning. And I was telling Billy as I was getting ready for this, I came across an interesting part of the exegesis thing. It said, Jesus exposes the real issue with this parable. And, you know, and I'll explain the setup in a minute, but I want you to get this in your head and think about. The question is not, who is my neighbor? I know you all thought that's what you heard, right? But that's not what Jesus set this up for. It's not, who is my neighbor? Rather, the question is, am I the neighbor? You get it? We are so worried in the church these days about making sure that everybody is prim and proper. We're so worried about people committing sins. And yet when this person come up, and listen, I got to tell you, there's people that are within the sound of my voice at this point that at some point they're going to say to me, yes, Pastor, this story makes sense, but. And James in our congregation will tell you that that's a bad word to use with me. Because what it means is you're coming up with an excuse for the truth that you just heard. This guy stood up to test Jesus. He wants to know what is the ultimate answer for being okay with God, not only through this life, but eternally. And so what did Jesus do? And this is why Jesus is so cool. I mean, if even if you don't get into Christianity, listening to Jesus as a teacher, he is just so cool. Because he doesn't answer the guy. He makes the guy answer his own question. Amen? He knew that he was trying to trap him. God, if we could just learn that lesson. Amen? So what is it that I got to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what does God say? And of course, you know, in Jesus' time with the Jews, they were stuck on what? 657 laws. And the leader of those laws was what? The Ten Commandments. And the very first commandment says what? Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you got it. You got it. Brothers and sisters, if you're listening to this sermon, if you want to know what you need to do to be in a permanent relationship with God, there's the answer. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Do that, and you'll live.
Water.
Do that, and you'll live. But of course, excuse me, thank you. If we're honest, a lot of us, when it comes to following the teachings of Jesus, we find that we have a butt. Amen? Not that one. The word. B-U-T. But. And that but is because what? We're looking for a way out because there is some stuff that's difficult. Amen? I found this. There's this whole list of people that we think are probably unworthy of our concern, that they've done something that they deserve it. By the way, those of you who are my age, when HIV first started, do you know that I actually heard pastors say they didn't want to be involved with people that were HIV positive and dying in the hospital because what? They brought it on themselves. So here's the list. Refugees, immigrants, boat people, people with AIDS, drug users, welfare bums, criminals. The list of the unworthy seems like it's endless. Jesus deliberately turned this whole thing upside down for those people who want to be arrogant and look down their nose at the rest of the world. He took a Samaritan. Hello? There was not a more hated group of people by Jesus' people in the entire world. They didn't... The Romans were not in such bad shape with Jesus' people. The Samaritans had done what? A very bad thing when they were being held captive. They intermarried. Amen? And so they were no longer what? 100%. Well, you know what? We've gone through that in this country, didn't we? We've had interracial marriages that was a problem. We had... interfaith marriages. You're not supposed to do that either. I don't know where all this stuff comes from, folks. You understand what I'm saying? Because if we want to know what it is to be with God, stop in the name of love. If you see somebody that's hungry, stop in the name of love. If you see somebody that's thirsty, stop in the name of love. If they need clothing or housing, stop in the name of love. If they are sick and in some kind of prison, mental or physical, stop in the name of love, and you will live. God bless you.